Our meditation this morning is from Psalm 81. Please turn there in your New King James Bibles. We read responsively from Psalm 81.
Psalm 81, on an instrument of Gath, the Psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob.
Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute.
Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day.
For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob.
This he established in Joseph as a testimony, when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand.
I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets.
You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah.
Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, you will listen to me.
There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me.
So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels.
Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways.
I will soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries.
The haters of Jehovah would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever.
He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would have satisfied you.
Amen. Okay, Psalm 81. As we look at this, continuing, as I've told you before, I firmly believe in the series of Psalms that we're looking at, in the context here that we find it. We see, at the beginning of it, a response to the last Psalm. Actually, to the last several. Remember, we started this series with the people of God troubled by their enemies, and calling out, well, first of all, wallowing in their misery, then calling out to God to free them. Then later, looking at things from God's point of view and understanding more what was going on. Then falling into repentance, crying out to God to save them for the sake of the covenant. And then just last week in Psalm 80, looking to the mediator of the covenant, the Redeemer, looking to Jesus, the one that God had raised up, that God would put His hand upon Him rather than upon the people, that the people would be saved. And that ended, restore us, O God, Lord God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. And this psalm begins, continuing, sing aloud to God our strength, and make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, at our solemn feast day. Now, again, this was to be sung originally in the temple, hence the musical instruments mentioned. But you see that it comes right out with the idea that we're thanking the God of the covenant for what He has done. Last week, or in Psalm 80, they looked to the covenant for forgiveness, for the mediator to be struck for their sin, that God would once again smile upon them, raise His face upon the people of God, that the people of God would be saved. And here we see praise to God, but it's not just the God, our Redeemer, but the specific terms used here point directly to the covenant of grace. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Jacob, the one who was originally called Israel, who had the covenant given to him there in the desert. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon and at the full moon, our solemn feast day. We see the Old Testament feasts shown to be pictures of the covenant. And here again, looking forward to the Messiah, they referred to the covenant and to the feast days of the covenant. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph, meaning Joseph's inheritance, as a testimony, when he went through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. Now that line there, did anybody feel a twinge when you heard that? When I heard a language I did not understand. because that was mentioned later in the prophets as a sign of the coming of the mediator and of something else that we'll get to in a few moments. It was mentioned again in the New Testament at the day of Pentecost when people heard strange tongues in the land. It was a sign of something. We'll see that in a moment. God speaking now. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets. You called in trouble and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. There in the desert, as they were being led forth to freedom from the slavery of Egypt, which points to the slavery we all have in sin. God rescued them, freed them from the burden, led them out, tested them, but answered his people, and gave them his law. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there will be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. Sounds like the same thing, but it's not. The first line is that no foreign gods will be tolerated to be among the nation. The land would be holy. The second is, you shall not worship any foreign god. You shall be holy. I am Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And he had promises in the covenant for his people. Now, go back to the previous. We saw the Messiah come to the land, to the nation of Israel. And here in Psalm 81, what was the people's response to that? First, thanks for their salvation from the earthly problems. But now, my people would not hear my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their stubborn heart to walk in their own counsel. Remember when the voice, the tongues, the foreign language were heard in the temple. That was a sign that the covenant, people of God, Israel as a nation, was being divorced. The voices, the strange tongues, the language I did not understand. We hear, both in the prophets and in the New Testament, we hear in the book of Revelation as a sign that judgment was falling upon the land of Israel. The people would not hear the voice of their mediator, their Messiah. Israel would have none of me. And they rejected the man that God had raised up. The vine did not hold its place in the vineyard. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsel. Now, you remember when Jesus wept over Jerusalem and Bethsaida? Listen to this next verse. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Here in Psalm 81, we have the very words of Jesus that he spoke in the Gospels. And people say the Psalms are about David. Here in Psalm 81, we have Jesus mourning over the city of Jerusalem again, over the land of Israel. And then when he came, many years later, the same emotion came out. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord. I read that as the haters of Jehovah. You see the all capitals there in Lord? That means that the word is Yahweh or Jehovah. It is not Adonai, meaning Lord. It is the covenant name of God. The haters of I am would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. Isn't that a picture of the nation of Israel in Jesus' day? When they pretended to follow the teachings of Jehovah, but rejected his son. He would have fed them also with the finest wheat, and with honey from the rock I would have satisfied you. But, as he said, my people would not hear my voice. And the nation was rejected there in 70 AD, not forever. The vine that we sang about and heard about last week had its branches broken off, but not forever. And because of that rejection, as the remnant mostly turned away from God, though there was a godly remnant yet that stayed, the Gentile nations were grafted into that vine. So what we have is the vine in the vineyard that last week we saw was being torn down has spread across the world. And the church is now among all the nations. And someday, the people of God will listen to him. And the nation of Israel will turn to the Lord. And when that happens, as Paul said, It would be a great blessing for the church. There are people who argue that the New Testament does not teach what they call successionism, where the church takes over the covenant promises of Israel. I submit to you that even that's a false picture of it. Israel continues, and the church, the Gentiles, have gone into the true nation of Israel. And we are Israel. Not a new Israel, but we are the Israel of God. But the ones who have separated themselves from Him will yet come back, and a great blessing on the earth and a great rejoicing in heaven will come from it. That concept was known in the Old Testament. There's no doubt about it. We see the prophets when they spoke of the northern kingdom being torn apart and being separated. We see it here when the vineyard rejects its God. But now we see again the church growing out of it. And in the New Testament, we can see the blessing yet to come. So as we sing this, we're going to sing the second part. It's very mournful. Let's sing this as a prayer for the church of Jesus that is strayed. And there are many people who pretend submission that don't. But let's also pray for the nation of Israel to return to their God. So we'll sing Psalm 81 and we'll sing Part B.